So we're going to begin at verse 9 together in this manner. Therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those, And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just give you this time and pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. And in these times that we're living, Lord, we need your help. We need your grace. We need your love. And so we ask, Lord, that as we listen attentively, that you would speak to each of our hearts, but mostly, Lord, that you would hear our prayers. We're so grateful that you love us, that you revealed yourself to us. And now, Lord, we pray as the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. So, we kind of get us back up to speed. If you're just joining us in the middle of this, I've been going really kind of verse by verse through what we have termed the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to get into this. If you really want to read the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. That's a better example of the Lord praying. This is really a model for prayer or an outline for prayer, I believe, that the Lord has given us. And as I've said, more than just words. So we have been already, we talked about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we saw and talked about God's person and his position. That we come with worshipful hearts in praise to our Heavenly Father, recognizing, you know, there should be a reverence of who God is in our lives, like we would an earthly father, revering an earthly father, the position and every, you know, so that with that understanding. And then your kingdom come, your will be done was God's purpose and program, talking about submission to God's will and how Jesus modeled that even until the cross, right? The night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you could take this cup from me, you know, he understood what was before him. He was about ready to take the wrath of God, you know, the cup of God's wrath. Yet he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went to the cross on our behalf. So it's that understanding of submission and seeking and submitting to the will of God for our lives. Third was, give us this day our daily bread, God's provision. And it's prayer of petition, seeking the Lord for our needs, not our greeds, we talk about. And then, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We talked about sin and trespasses. And look, the reality of it, you know, human nature and a part of life, we're going to trespass one another. You know, and talking about that, we're going to step over boundaries and we're going to cross some lines. And it's about, you know, really understanding how to love one another through all of that. We talked about love God supremely. Those are the commandments. Love God supremely, love each other as we love ourselves. And I say love one another to the best of our ability, you know, and with that understanding of without condition. And we see the struggle in the world today are all the conditions that have been put on relationships. And the only thing that can break through that, I believe, is seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto us. Loving him supremely and loving each other to the best of our ability. And we need his help to do that. And so this morning, God's pardon. I kind of got into the meat of it before I gave you the P of it. That's God's pardon. It's prayers of repentance and confession. And, you know, how to deal with one another, how to come to God and approach God on those things. And this morning, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God's protection. It's talking about prayers of intercession and prayers of supplication. This is where we probably spend most of our time in prayer, isn't it? In fact, most of us go right to this. We often, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the Lord with our, you know, Lord, I need help. Lord, this is going on in my lives. And often we're the focus of prayer. And I'm not saying that that's a wrong thing, but when we look at the Lord's Prayer and as we're studying it, the whole scope of it, what Jesus says is important, that we're able to institute all of these things in prayer when we're coming to the Lord. There can be times where it's, you know, specific. Where we're specifically going with intercession, or we're going before our Heavenly Father with our needs, and that's fine too. But, you know, just the scope of the model that Jesus gives us really is a great reminder even for me in my own prayer life and understanding these things. But we often pray for ourselves and others and spend a lot of time in prayer for ourselves and others. We may pray to intercede on our own behalf, right? Maybe because of an illness. Maybe you're not feeling good, or you have a challenge that's ahead of you. Or there's uncertainty because of adverse circumstances in our lives. Certainly we've all come through an adverse circumstance, haven't we? And we've all had, you know, probably have spent quite a bit of time before the Lord, you know, laying things at His feet, seeking Him for wisdom in navigating what's going on in this world. A test is really, and what it is, they're life tests is what they are. A test is really a barometer by which our progress can be measured, our progress and, you know, of faith, our progress with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. In school, I remember there were some tests that I really looked forward to. I liked the challenge. Others I did not. It was based on my preparation and the knowledge of the material that I was going to be tested on. There were the occasional pop quizzes. And sometimes, right? Y'all remember those? Sometimes they were no big deal. Other times they exposed the lack of preparation and time spent in reading. And you know what I'm saying? Either reading or the homework. You ever get caught by one of those? You know, the ones that popped up and you're ready, it's, aha, I got this, right? Life's tests are very much the same thing. Some tests we see coming and have time to prepare for. And there are other tests that seem to pop up out of nowhere. But regardless of the tests or trials, as Christians we realize we need God's help in times of trial and testing. The great news is He's available always to help us. And He's also our professor, so to speak, our teacher. Jesus, in this model for prayer, offers this insight. When you pray, ask for your Father's protection and deliverance, and He will deliver you through the test or trial. It's comforting to me to know that first my Father hears my prayers, and He's waiting. He's waiting to hear from you and I. Secondly, He knows my needs. And thirdly, He's present to help me in times of trouble. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in what? Time of need, in trials, tests. Jesus is, in essence, letting you and I know that God, our Father, is present in our lives. When He was His only begotten, or sent His only begotten Son, and Jesus was present with us on earth, He is always, always, always available. The closer you draw to God, the more you understand about God, who He is, His plan and His purpose, everything that He has provided for you, the things He has forgiven you for. They're all preparation for the tests of life. And as one grows in the knowledge of God, the better one can handle life's trials and tests. Tests can come in many forms: physical tests, sickness, aches, pains, or mental tests, anxiety, depression. We're constantly bombarded by worldly values, cleverly worded, trying to get in through here and change what's going on in here. Situational truth, situational ethics. There are relational tests, marriages, family, peers or management at work, our neighbors. Even right here in the church, there are tests. And there are spiritual tests. Your faith. How do we deal with lawlessness? Not just sin and obvious sin, but lawlessness that we see going on all over our country today. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I believe it's Peter that said, you know, rejoice when these things happen. And how many of us, you know, we talk about that. How many of you count it all joy when the tough times come? You know? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I mean, how often do you go into prayer understanding that? That God is working something out in your life and through your life, and that whatever you need, he is willing to give it liberally, more than you can understand. When a test is coming or is upon you, when you're in the midst of a trial, what do you do? What do you do? Well, if you're like me, sometimes you start out with complaining or grumbling, right? Or you're trying to figure out how you're going to get out of it or how to avoid it, whatever it is coming. When the first thing we should be doing is going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. When the trial or test is coming, you can pray for preparation. What does it say? You will lack nothing, right? There's nothing better than preparing, you know, being prepared for a test that's coming. And when you're in the midst of a trial, you can pray for protection and guidance. What you lack will be given to you liberally. God won't even, listen, your Heavenly Father won't even get mad if you come and ask him for it. I remember those days, you know, Dad's busy. Now's not the time. Certainly to ask for, you know, certain things. But do you believe it? You know, how is your faith and understanding of God this morning? And prayer, the importance of prayer, and the opportunity for prayer. Not only do we often pray for ourselves, we pray for friends and loved ones. We're to even pray for our enemies. I had to add that one because I didn't want to add that one because I struggle with that one. But we pray for their healing. We pray for their deliverance from whether it's bondage to drugs or maybe alcohol, from sin, sexual immorality, whatever it might be. We pray for the salvation of others. We want to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray for their guidance. We pray for their protection. We pray for relationships, for whether it's restoration or reconciliation, or to see the bonds grow stronger, especially marriages. These are all intercessory prayers. Moses, probably the greatest example of intercession and intercessory prayer in the Old Testament. He would often intercede on behalf of the children of Israel because they needed to be prayed for often. Most of us know the story of the golden calf. Moses is up there with the Lord, spending some time getting some commandments and some marching orders. And what are they doing? In his absence, they were afraid to go up and be in the presence of the Lord. You go, Moses, you get it, and you come back down and tell us You tell us what God says. And while he's up there, what are they doing? They're melting gold that they had gotten from the Egyptians, who just handed them all kinds of stuff to get them out of Egypt. And what do? They melt it down and tell Aaron, make a golden calf that we can worship. And Moses comes down. God's reaction was what? I'm going to wipe them out. That's it. I've had enough of these grumblers and complainers. And that's all they really did, you know, even though God got them out of the bondage and through the water and all the different things that God had done, protected them in this time of trial. But, you know, Moses went to bat for them. Ultimately, he would say, Lord, if you're going to wipe them out, you take me too. And so God relented. The prophets, many of them were men of intercessory prayer. It's really kind of fascinating when you read through the Old Testament, especially in those times of intercession, when they would come to the Lord to intercede on behalf of the children of Israel. Because understand something, these men were more than just the messengers. They revealed through their ministries, and certainly what we have here, that the message first affected them before they delivered it to the children of Israel. But it's fascinating that when they would pray interceding on behalf of the children of Israel, they didn't have the "I'm glad that I'm not like them" kind of attitude, which we can often have. But they would often, when they would pray, they would say, "We have sinned against you," and would include themselves with in those that they were praying for. They didn't just deliver the message. The message affected them. Paul often prayed for the church and those he had led to the Lord. Jesus in John 17 really leaves us probably the best example of intercessory prayer we have in all of the scriptures. He prays briefly for himself and then at length for his disciples, and then he prayed, guess what? In John 17, he prayed for you and he prayed for me. It's an amazing prayer. If you've never read through it or it's been a while since you've been through it, I would suggest maybe this afternoon that you go and just open up John 17 and see what Jesus' heart was for you and for me. You'll understand just how much Jesus loves you. It's a faith-building, I believe, exercise. So in our text this morning, Jesus says, when you pray, say, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It has been confusing. The words and the wording has been confusing for many because of the translation of the word perasmos. It's used 20 times in the New Testament. 19 times it's translated temptation, and one time by Peter translated to try. Not to try it out, but to try, to put on trial. It means to proof. And the question arises, so does God tempt his children? By experiment of good or experience of evil, when we have to understand, when Jesus was in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 3 says when the tempter came to him. You see, Satan is the tempter. So if Satan is the tempter, then what does this mean? Do not lead us into temptation. Have you ever been confused by that? It must go with, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus was taken to the wilderness to be tested by the Father and to be tempted by the devil. You see the difference? God tests, Satan tempts. And you got to, check, kind of look at it this way. This is what I hear Jesus, our Savior, telling us. You do not have to go through what I have already gone through on your behalf. I was led out to the wilderness by the Spirit, and the test was to be tempted by Satan. I handled it. I prayed and fasted 40 days. I was prepared for the test. I overcame Satan's temptation. And really, if you think about it, that's awesome what he's done for you and me. And that, you know, all I can think is, Lord, I don't want to go through that because I would not make it. I wouldn't be able to do it. Now, for further proof, James tells us, James, who told us to look at trials as a joyful thing, also tells us this in chapter 1 of his letter, starting at verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren and cistern. It's a biblical word, cistern. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Tempted there is the word pirazo, and it means to test, assay, examine, prove, tempt. So what makes it tempt here? It's the reference to evil. Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights. You see, this needs to be pointed out. We have seen that the tempter is Satan, yet James tells us, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. That's called ownership. The enemy can only dangle the temptation or the sin in front of you. You understand that? It's up to us whether or not we take the bite, whether we entertain it. The devil made me do it is not a truthful statement. I took the bait willingly is a truthful statement. It's the enemy. We hear that. That's a truthful statement. It's always the enemy. You understand that? He's the prince of the power of the air. He has dominion in this world. He's the tempter. But as children of God, we have an out every time. Pray to the Father for protection and deliverance is what Jesus is saying. Peter wrote in his second epistle, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. If you don't know how to get out of it, the Lord knows how to deliver you from it. James chapter 4, verses 7 and the first part of verse 8 says, therefore submit to God, go to the Lord in prayer, seek His help. It's simple. It's simple. You know, this is a test that we should all pass, but I fail so often. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's a two-way street. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble or find ourselves in a trial and we start going, where were you? Well, he's looking down going, where were you? You know, you obviously weren't where you're supposed to be. Well, Pastor Bill, that's all great, but you don't understand what trials I face. You don't know my addiction. You don't know my situation. I can't overcome it. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that the children of Israel gave in to just about everything that was set before them. I mean, they just fail. They just put fail in front of the children of Israel. Right? Idolatry, complaining, sexual immorality. They tested or questioned God often. And God was not pleased with them, but these things are to be our examples. Because we're going to be tempted with the same things. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Oh no, mine's worse. God doesn't understand. And please, don't take that the wrong way, because there are tests and there are trials that are tough. I know. I've been through a lot of them. But it's not uncommon. Who will not, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, God may have more confidence in you than you want him to have, right? But he's faithful and he's able to get you through it. But we cannot fail. We're the church. We're found in Christ, the one who has already faced those things on our behalf. If you're being tested, you want to know what my counsel is for you? Pray. If you're being tempted, pray. If your loved ones need help, pray. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. We know this, be anxious for nothing, but at everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Requests, everything. That's everything. Everything. And everything. Prayer and supplication. Right? Go before the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Let your requests be made known to him, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Knowing this, he's faithful. When you pray, go with the understanding that he's faithful. That's where you'll get the peace. A lot of times, I don't have peace after I'm done praying because I'm not getting the desired results or the right answer, right? Solomon was a wise man. He knew words. He wrote Proverbs. He dedicated the temple. He prayed a prayer of praise, submission, recognition of God's provision, of petition, and intercession. And it's an amazing prayer in 1 Kings when he dedicated the temple. Yet Solomon's counsel when approaching God is not about many words or right words or how you sound when you're talking to your Heavenly Father. Do you know what his counsel was? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, God is in heaven, you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. Think about that. And I believe that when our words are few, it's because of the understanding that he's faithful. What does the Bible say? He already knows what you need before you pray for it. And it might not be what you think you need, right? But he knows what you need. Make your requests known. Avoid presumptive prayer. What do I mean by that? We often seek the Lord with the preferred solution or the answer, to our situation or our problem. How God should answer our prayers. That's presumptive prayer. God had a real issue with the children of Israel and their presumption. He warned them about it. One time, because of their presumption, even though the ark of God had left with the priest, they presumed to go up to battle anyways, but they didn't have the backing of the Lord. Presumption's a bad thing. There's no trust when we're presuming. One thing I'm learning is not praying to get out of the test of the trial, but rather what I am to get out of the test or the trial that I'm in. What does the Lord want me to learn? And it could be that he's teaching me to trust. He's teaching me to wait upon him, to seek him in these things. You see, the purpose of testing is to apply what we have learned about our Heavenly Father. To apply what we have learned through the searching of His Word and the understanding of His faithfulness and His love and His mercy and all those things, the truths that the Word of God holds. He is always faithful in every circumstance, and you can trust Him. Even when it's not the answer that you're looking for. When the answer comes, you can be sure it was the answer that you need. Amen? Because I know this, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. He's working all things together for good, for your good, for my good. You know, with everything that's going on, you know, my understanding, with everything that's going on, God knows the number of my days and He knows the number of your days. And I'm just going to, whether you get COVID or don't get COVID, it's true. He knows what you can handle, and it's according to His plan and His purpose. Look, everything Jesus did, He really kind of sums up in, it's better that I go, because if I go, my Heavenly Father's going to send you a helper. And they said, where are you going to go? Well, where I'm going, you can't go, and you can't know, but in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's gone to prepare a place for us, because ultimately that's where He wants us. He'll help us through this temporal life so that we can spend eternity with Him. And that's the good news. And He's given us the tools to make it through by teaching us and giving us this great model for praying and building our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for all that You have done and will do. And Lord, we're probably all going through something. Lord, and for those that might be at the end of their ropes, or things are fraying, or they think that they can't make it, I pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, that Your Spirit would move and would fill, would encourage those that need encouragement right now. Lord, that You would give assurance to those who are questioning whether you're listening or whether you're with them. Lord, and I just pray that the peace that surpasses understanding would fall upon Your children right now, wherever they're at, whatever they're dealing with. Lord, that we can all leave this morning with full confidence that You are faithful and we can trust You. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here who is sick, Lord, that You would touch them. That You would heal. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning and their mind's playing tricks on them or messing with them, Lord, I pray that You would transform their minds right now. that they would have sound mind. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who has drifted away, Lord, or is living carnally, Lord, has gone back to the world or is listening to the world right now, I pray, Lord, that they would hear Your still small voice, that they would know how much You love them. Lord, that You died, that you went to the wilderness and faced all the things they're facing so that they don't have to turn to the world, but they can just turn to You, Lord. And Lord, for those who have not surrendered their lives to You, Lord, and who don't know You, I pray that You would just draw them to Yourself, Lord, that they would cry out, knowing how much they need You. And Lord, that Your word would go forth, would not, and You said it would never, ever return to You void. But even as hearts are turning to You, Lord, and even quietly Your children are praying, Lord, my prayer is that you would hear their prayers, that you would answer from heaven, Lord. Just work in and through your church, we pray. And pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.